Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Patients describe shingles as a burning, stabbing or itching feeling, usually accompanied by a painful rash. Ask your doctor, pharmacist or practice nurse about shingles and visit understandingshingles.ie to learn more.
Understanding Shingles, brought to you by GSK.
At Cork and Dublin airports, we want to lift everyone in Ireland, not just our passengers. The 10 billion euro we contribute lifts our national economy with 128,000 jobs boosted by us being here. Our support also lifts dozens of charities and hundreds of local community activities. And by halving airport emissions by 2030, we think we can lift everyone's future hopes even higher. Cork and Dublin airports, lift us all.
It's important to take care of yourself when you're feeling unwell. And if you have symptoms of a virus, flu, or COVID-19, the best thing to do is to rest up and stay at home. Because you won't just be taking care of yourself, you'll be helping to protect other people too. People close to you, like family and friends, and people you've never even met who might be at higher risk than you. And don't forget to visit hse.ie for advice on getting better. From the HSE.
It's almost 9 o'clock on RTE Radio 1 with Dundeel Motors, home to Ireland's trusted car dealerships. Upgrading your family car? The right car for your family is on dundeel.ie.
And that's it from Gavin and me. Thank you for listening. Thanks to the team, broadcast coordinator Anne-Marie Donlan, on sound Aisling Grufferty, our editors Maura Hannan and Pather Brannock, and series editor John Burke.
That's it from Mary and me. Thanks for listening. Happy birthday, Morning Ireland. Oliver Callan is up next. Brian Jennings has the news. It's 9 o'clock.
A very good morning to you. Today is the last day of campaigning before the US presidential and congressional elections. The presidential candidates, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, are concentrating their final efforts in the northeastern battleground states, particularly Michigan and Pennsylvania. Mr. Trump will also revisit and hold a rally in North Carolina. Opinion polls have continued to suggest an extremely tight contest. But speaking in Morning Ireland, Professor Thomas Gift, director of the Centre on US Politics at University College London, said all eyes will be fixed on the state of Pennsylvania on election night.
Recent forecasts show that if Kamala Harris wins Pennsylvania, her odds of winning the White House go up to 91%. If Trump wins Pennsylvania, his odds of winning the White House go up to 96%. So it's such a bellwether. Pennsylvania is worth 19 electoral votes, and I think that it really could be dispositive of who wins.
The Child Law Project has highlighted a lack of government policy, planning and strategy relating to child protection in its latest publication. The organisation, which examines and reports on judicial childcare proceedings, has compiled findings gathered over the last 3 years. It said there has been an increased focus on the courts on the lack of appropriate care placements for children. The executive director of the Child Law Project, Dr. Carol Coulter, told Morning Ireland that judges have expressed different levels of frustration and despair at the situation.
What they tend to do is that they ask the social work team, and in some instances, HSE, in one instance, even the Department of Education, because the child was out of education for 14 months, and they ask senior officials to come in and explain what they're going to do. And they keep doing this until they get an answer. And eventually a place will probably be found for this child. But then another child who could have an equal level of need will not have a place, and we're in a sense back on the same treadmill.
More rain is falling in Valencia and Spain, the region worst affected by last week's flash flooding. More than 200 people died. An unknown number of others are still missing. Emergency workers and volunteers are continuing to comb through underground car parks and tunnels to try to find more survivors and recover bodies. One of those helping is 22-year-old Leah Plunkett from Cavan, living in Valencia, who told Morning Ireland of apocalyptic scenes of the flood's aftermath.
I mean, there's dead animals on the street, there's cars up on top of each other, about three or four cars, and there's people still looking for their loved ones in those cars. It's apocalyptic is probably the only way I could describe it.
A man will appear before Blanchardstown District Court today, charged in connection with an alleged assault on the Green Party leader and Minister Roderick O'Gorman. The incident is reported to have happened when Mr O'Gorman was out canvassing in his Dublin constituency on Saturday. The American music producer and composer Quincy Jones has died aged 91. Among the countless artists he worked with through his career were Michael Jackson, Frank Sinatra and Ray Charles. He was the winner of 28 Grammy Awards. His publicist said he died peacefully last night at his home in Los Angeles, surrounded by his family.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Grant. Why not upgrade to an award-winning Grant Vortex boiler for reliable and efficient home heating? Think heating, think Grant. Visit grant.ie.
Mainly dry and cloudy, some patchy drizzle and mist are possible, and maybe some brighter intervals. Highest temperatures 11 to 14 degrees. Light to moderate southeasterly winds. And that's all for now. We'll have news again at 10.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by itsforwomen.ie. Irish online car insurance that's driven to offer big discounts and even bigger rewards.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is Monday now and we are 4 days into November, and do not be fooled by the air of calm out there. Get in touch on the WhatsApp. It's 087-032-3232 from all 32 counties, and you can email from anywhere, oliver@rt.ie, and follow the show as well on Spotify. Hope you had a lovely weekend. Well done to Shelburne Shells that won the Premier Division League of Ireland for the first time in 18 years. Great to see. Wonderful scenes on Friday. And Damien Duff, it's a great victory for him. And all eyes will be on his managerial career as he goes forward now as well. And it was a lovely, it was a bit of one of those weird winter weekends as well, wasn't it? November seems to be between 12 and 14 degrees and dead calm. It's enjoyable nonetheless. There are two 91-year-olds in the news this morning. One of them has passed away, Quincy Jones, you just heard there in the bulletin. The other one's alive and well, Michael Caine. I'll come to him in a moment. But they say if you are a music lover, you will have at least one album with Quincy Jones's name on it in the record collection, because he was one of the biggest music producers in the world of all time. And he made it to 91, and his back catalogue, some of the richest moments in American musical history. He worked with Michael Jackson. He did three albums with Michael Jackson. The very first one, Bad, Thriller. He kind of made that star, really. Ella Fitzgerald as well, Ray Charles, Frank Sinatra, and many, many more. He's involved in films as well. He produced the Thriller album, which sold 20 million copies in 1983. And he got Eddie Van Halen for the guitar solo on Beat It. Vincent Price was the famous ghoulish voiceover on Thriller. And he is the one who decided that Michael Jackson should keep all those kind of grunts and whoops in there. The you know, all those things, which obviously became seminal for him until these were the glory days for Jackson, before the unpleasantness, of course. And he also oversaw the recording of the We Are the World 1985, the All-Star charity record co-written by Lionel Richie, who described Quincy Jones as the master orchestrator. So Quincy Jones, interesting, I grew up in Chicago, became one of the first black executives to thrive in Hollywood, and always said that being underestimated is the best position you can be in your life. So we can learn stuff from this nonagenarian. Here he is from 2014, 10 years ago, talking about growing up in Chicago. And he's 11 years of age, and himself and his friends, they see each other as kind of mini gangsters around the place.
We went in there, we ate up all of the lemon pie and ate ice cream and had pie fights and everything else. Then we walked around and broke into rooms and so forth. And I walked in one room, saw a piano in the dark, a spinet, and I closed the door and something said, go back in that room. And I went back and touched that piano, and I knew that through that the rest of my life. And the next day, I started staying after school. I learned sousaphone, tuba, B flat baritone, E flat alto, French horn, trombones, because trombone players get to the marching band to be next to the girls. Just something happened to me. I never conceived, because I heard a lot of music when I was young in Chicago and St. Louis too, where my grandmother was. But, and that's where Miles Davis and Clark Terry and all those guys are from, you know. And but I didn't think that human beings did it, you know. And that when I saw that piano, I understood it. I understood it immediately, you know. And if I hadn't done that, I would have been probably dead or in prison right now. No question about it.
Wow, what a story. What a life. The late Quincy Jones. He won 27 Grammys at the time of his memoir in 2001, but he got another one afterwards. He has two Academy Awards, an Emmy as well. He was the co-producer of The Colour Purple, the film, and he convinced Steven Spielberg to be the man to direct it. So a phenomenal life well lived, Quincy Jones, for sure. Michael Caine is still alive and well at 91, and he's put out another memoir, and it was in the serialised, or there was an excerpt in the Sunday Times yesterday. I was taken by it because I'd seen Zulu on telly. It was on RTE only on Saturday afternoon there, and he's talking about how Alfie was more important than Zulu for his career, even though Zulu was a huge kind of groundbreaking decision because he plays an upper-class officer, and of course he's famously from East London. Now he talks in his memoir about being a conservative, which he's very proud of, but there's a funny bit at the end where he talks about Jaws the Revenge, 1987. It was the fourth Jaws movie, and he says people come up to him and say, "That was the worst film I've ever seen," and he replies, "Probably, but it paid for a beautiful house for my mother, so what's your problem?" And his memoir is called Don't Look Back, You'll Trip Over. It comes out on Thursday. That's a good one. That's Michael Caine. He's got that sense of humour about him, doesn't he? Now, are you ready for the week ahead? Because I don't think anyone is. Whatever's going on in your lovely, homely universe right now, the wider world is wild and is going to have a very noisy and chaotic couple of days ahead. The American commentator's favourite word in politics, consequential. It is the most consequential few days for the free world for a very long time. I saw one brilliant description in the Washington Post the other day that America is basically having a national panic attack over this election. So I'll give you a summary of what's going on the weekend if you put your head elsewhere, because basically what's happening, both Republicans and the Democrats are boasting that the signs of victory are in the air for them, because more than half the expected turnout, they've already voted early, either as a postal ballot or mail-in ballots, as they call them, or in person as well. More women than ever, they're out among the early voters, and they make up most of them, but they always do. But the Harris campaign are pointing to that as a sign that they've got the vote out, and it could well prove the difference in this squeaky tight race. There's a poll from Iowa which is getting all the headlines across the weekend, and it shows that Harris could actually win. It has her ahead by 3 or 4 points. Trump is not even discussing Iowa because it's a deep red state. He's expected to win it by, you know, by as much as 10%. But the trend it has spotted, it's important, and it's a very well got, this poll in particular. It's not a rubbishy poll. It's spotting a trend that older white voters are leaning towards Harris in the closing days of the campaign. And that, while it mightn't carry Iowa for her, it could bear out in the Midwest swing states of Michigan and Wisconsin, that she has to win along with Pennsylvania. If she just wins those three, she has the White House, essentially. What are the candidates have they been doing in the last couple of days? Well, Trump is really starting to show his age, I think. I was watching some of the rallies yesterday. His energy is much lower than recent weeks, and the end is in sight. He's still much tougher, obviously, than Joe Biden, but he has started to wane and ramble even more than usual. He was talking about the assassination attempts on him again, and a couple of days after talking about, you know, guns being pointed at Liz Cheney, which he was talking about. She's the Republican backing Kamala Harris. He talked lightly again about the potential for violence against the media, and his rallies, just to put this clip in context, he always looks out among a line of camera operators and journalists in his eyelines at the back of the hall or the rally crowd, some of which, by the way, include Fox News that favour him. But he lumps them in all under the umbrella of fake news. And this is what he was saying on Saturday.
"And I have this piece of glass here. But all we have really over here is the fake news, right? And to get me, somebody would have to shoot through the fake news. And I don't mind that so much, because I don't mind. I don't mind that."
There you go. That's Trump. I mean, there are a few groans in that audience as well. And of course, the campaign would say that he was really joking. Somebody who actually was joking, Kamala Harris, she made a surprise appearance on the comedy show coming out of the deep blue New York City, Saturday Night Live. The actor Maya Randolph has been playing her in sketches for the last couple of weeks, does a really brilliant impression of her, although all the sketches have been very anti-Trump and very biased in Harris's direction. So now we know why, because they're obviously currying favour for her to show up, and she was very happy to turn up. So we'll hear Maya. They're at a mirror, basically. So Maya Randolph is on one side of the mirror, looking pretty much exactly like, same outfit and everything, as Kamala Harris. And using the American pronunciation of Kamala as Kamala, they have a bit of play on words.
Kamala, take my Pamela. The American people want to stop the chaos.
And end the dramala.
With a cool new stepmamala. Kick back in our pajamalas and watch a rom Kamala.
Like Legally Blondela.
And start decorating for Christmas. Fala la la la. Because what do we always say? Keep Kamala and carry on a la.
I like that more now than I did when I first saw it. So it either makes her much more relatable and relaxed to the Harris fans, or it shows the mainstream or lamestream media are completely on her side. How could she lose anyway? When you look at the fact that she's three times the money that Trump has, she has the bigger ground operation, she's propped up by Obama and so on because maybe she lacks the stature because she had 3 or 4 years at Joe Biden's side and hasn't really used it properly, has she, until she suddenly became the candidate. She has certainly most of the media on her side. I mean, she should win. And she has an issue that's bigger than her, that abortion issue that is Republican voters also favour and might quietly recognise and make that move in the ballot box, which is what the campaign has been doing. But the Wall Street Journal, that's the newspaper that represents the traditional Republican voter, they say there are three reasons why she will lose. When I say a traditional Republican voter, I mean the people who are repulsed in the Republican side, repulsed by Donald Trump and what he says and the profanities of his rallies and the threats to opponents. But they still would prefer a Republican leaning candidate in the White House compared to the what they see as the progressive radical left of Kamala Harris. They're pointing out three reasons they say they think she will lose: the loss of traditional Democrat voters, which do seem to be deserting her because of they think there's a stature gap there. This was one of the most read things in Wall Street Journal. They think the unpreparedness, because she was not in the campaign very long and she had very few challenges, depending on the supporters backing her up, whether it's Obama and even Oprah Winfrey and all the celebrities. A lack of substance and a lack of distinction from Biden. She's aligned herself with Biden's policies, hasn't carved out a kind of compelling vision, and that kind of perceived lack of gravitas, unprepared for the national stage, weak campaign narrative. They're the reasons they think that Trump is a more proven figure compared to Harris. Now, on the flip side of that, the New York Times has been outlining the main steps in Donald Trump's strategy, which we're going to see apparently in the coming days. The first thing is to claim victory early. Steve Bannon, who's fresh out of prison, saying that Trump should declare election on election night victory before the votes are all counted. It'll be exactly the same as 2020 strategy, which eventually led to the January 6th Capitol attack. The next bit then would be to sow doubt and spread misinformation. They're already amplifying reports of minor voting issues, kind of saying this is evidence of Democratic fraud. And conservative voices, people like Elon Musk, are using Twitter as well to set expectations for a Trump landslide. They're filling the internet with all these fake polls predicting that, you know, it'll be such a big win for him that a legitimate loss might appear as fraud to his supporters. And that's bolstered by the fact that the social media has fewer controls on misinformation than 4 years ago, particularly on Twitter, but also across TikTok and on Facebook as well. Now, how will all of that fail? There are big differences between now and 4 years ago, because he's no longer in control of the federal government, of course, Trump. So there are fewer like-minded people in key positions of power. There's a new law that's been passed, which will make it harder to stop the final certification of votes. And some of the people who actually, you know, promoted that line about stolen election have paid heavily for it, including Fox News, that paid $800 million in a defamation suit against the voting machines, they accused of being fraudulent. But the threat of another chaotic post-election period remains. Also, remember, we didn't get a result from Pennsylvania in the last election until Saturday morning. So we're thinking we'll wake up on Wednesday morning with a view of how things have gone, you might be wrong. 51551, by the way, for your texts. A nice, apt piece of music would be Democracy by Leonard Cohen, says Ken in Clondalkin. Willie Nelson is still going. They're very much the Democrat voices, aren't they, Jimmy? We'll have to have a think about what song we'll play on election morning, actually. I do like Post Malone's Loser. That's one which could apply to anyone. But the context is all very different, of course. I do think we need some music, though, to settle us and put us in a nice place of a Monday morning for what will be a chaotic week. 087 032 32 32 is the WhatsApp. Happy Monday, everyone.
Well, pick me up with golden hand. Oh, me say, oh, me tell you to run.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I'm over the same, over the young. Well, I would like to hold my little hand. How about me?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Remember to see me, buddy.
Ah, that'll put you in good form. Would have sent me on my way, a rusted root there. And that's the vibe we're looking for. Now, 51551 for the text, 0870 32 32 32 on the WhatsApps. We're going to hear about a campaign, brand new campaign, to encourage people who are living in homeless emergency accommodations and generally the homeless people to actually register to vote. There's still time to get out the vote there. It's an unusual campaign, but it's a good one. We'll hear about it after these.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Did you know that you can spread the cost of your TV licence across the year? Set up a direct debit now and pay just £13.33 a month. If you have a TV, you must have a TV licence. It's the law. See tvlicense.ie for more. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
At Screwfix, you can click and collect over 10,000 trade products in as little as 1 minute. So whether it's sockets and swords or radiators and Roscommon, when you need it yesterday, just click at screwfix.ie and collect at your local store 7 days a week. T's and C's apply. Visit screwfix.ie for full details.
The countdown to Christmas is well and truly on at Lidl. Get your home looking fabulously festive with Lidl Plus. We've stunning Christmas wreaths, now 20% off at a very reasonable £9.59. And there's a tremendous 20% off artificial, pre-lit or wooden Christmas trees. Slay! Offers available in Lidl stores now while stocks last.
The Anne Sullivan Foundation is dedicated to supporting people in Ireland who are deafblind through our residential and day service facilities in Dublin and our community outreach nationwide. Please support our vital work now or consider making a lasting gift to us in your will. For more, visit annesullivan.ie. Thank you.
How can you make your home more energy efficient? Turn down the telly? No harm. Get your gas boiler serviced. That'll help, especially if you talk to people you can trust, who've been around for over 45 years and who really want to help you on your energy efficiency journey. Who? Bord Gáis Energy. Who else? Book your boiler service today at bordgáisenergy.ie.
Love the Fiat 500? You've got to meet his big sister, the all-new Fiat 600. With the same iconic Italian styling, it's got more space and way more tech. Like driver's heated massage seats, so you can top up La Dolce Vita anytime. From €28,995, available in hybrid and full electric, test drive the new Fiat 600 at your local dealer. Price excludes delivery and related charges. Massage seats come with La Prima. Visit fiat.ie for full T's and C's.
RTE Radio 1.
Mary Black is back on tour across Ireland this January. See Mary at a venue near you. Vicar Street, Ulster Hall, INEC Killarney, TF Royal Castle Bar, 3 Olympia Theatre, Cork Opera House, Wexford Opera House and many more. Tickets available now. Don't miss Mary Black live this January.
Music updates on RTE Radio 1.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. Don't live your life on hold with online car insurance that's driven to save you time and money.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. I'm having a lively chat already with our next guest because this is about people who are homeless and living in what we still call emergency accommodation after all these years. And they're being encouraged to register to vote in the forthcoming elections in order to have their voice heard. It's a very good idea. Focus Ireland has launched the drive to register. And this morning I'm joined in studio by Louise Bayliss, who is campaign coordinator with the charity. You're in charge of this drive, basically, aren't you? Isn't it the shorthand?
Yeah.
And also Kellyanne Byrne, who found herself homeless on two separate occasions and is now in your forever home. Congratulations. Yeah. And a former lived experience ambassador for Focus Ireland.
You're
still an ambassador, is it? A former?
A former. So I have literally just progressed on now to do other things.
Oh, and right, okay.
There is new ambassadors that have come with, you know, their life experience. And yes. I think the more voices and the more people that are, you know, able to come forward and share their life experience, I think that's what builds connection in the world. And that's what helps create change, you know.
And also one of the reasons why
Louise,
why we say former ambassadors, we don't want people defined as their homeless status for the rest of their lives. So when we ask people to be an ambassador, it's a 2-year term. Just Kelly has just gotten involved in loads of other things and still is a voice for us.
That's it.
But you speak the absolute truth, because we've seen in every campaign for change worldwide, it's personal stories that really resonate with people, because otherwise they're just statistics that get lost. Can we find a little bit about you, Kellyanne, and your background and how you...
So my name's Kelly and I'm a mommy. I'm also very, very, you know, interested and involved in the likes of creating change for the world and, you know, just what's not working and using my voice.
The world was stacked against you from a young age. You were in the foster care system
it's been
as a child.
A battle, you know, but it's been, I suppose, a lot of learning as well, which has been great. I think in life you have a choice of what way you can view things, you know, and I'm very fortunate that I viewed it as a learning curve and just, you know, took it on board and I'm now using it in a positive light, please God, to turning pain into power, using it in a way to, you know, help others, prevent others from going through what I experienced, and basically saying to the government, this is what you have implemented in the past with your decisions, and this is what's not working because, you know, I've lived through them.
Several governments.
Several.
There. Can you tell us what was going on in your life at the age of 16 when you became homeless?
Yeah, so I have lived in foster care up until the age of 16 and just had, you know, so much emotional turmoil. Let's say, even just growing up in foster care, trying to understand, you know, like what my life situation was. And so I became homeless then when I was 16. And I tell you, I got the absolute shock of my life. I think that was a huge crossing in my journey, as in, you know, it was a time where I was like, give up or try and just survive, you know, take each day as it comes. And I went into complete survival mode.
Really?
Went into complete survival mode. And if I'm honest with you now, I just absolutely felt like I was nothing. I was nobody. I wasn't a part of anything, that nobody, almost like I was invisible. You know, I used to have to, I had a newborn and I used to have to walk the streets with the newborn.
You were pregnant at 16.
I was pregnant at 16 and I actually
then suddenly homeless with this, like your child.
My newborn son, yeah. And my newborn son, he actually wasn't well. He was a chronic asthmatic.
Wow.
He nearly died on me 3 times, like, and this is in the midst of homelessness. So this is like walking the streets, no matter what type of weather.
Yeah.
Having nowhere to go, having no support, having no family, just absolute turmoil. This was, I'd say, a huge breaking point in my life, that if I didn't have my son and keep in my frame of mind that he needed me, I don't think I would have got through and be able to be here today. And, you know,
it's incredible you did survive all that.
100%.
Where did you, the pair of you, sleep in those days?
So we were in a hostel on the South Circular Road. It's called the Missionaries of Charity. It's like nuns, like Mother Teresa. I'll never forget them. Like, I'd be very spiritual myself. And spiritual, you know, isn't about religion or anything like that.
Yes.
It's about, you know, yourself, who you are, empowering yourself, strength, and anything positive that can help you on your life's journey, which I think is another part that helped carry me through. Mm-hmm. You know, that frame of mind of always trying to look for the positivity, always trying to have, you know, the hope of something better, you know, is going to come out of this. Yeah. And
so these were the nuns of the Missionaries of Charity convent on the South Circular Road. Do you remember how you were directed towards them?
So the Eastern Health Board had nowhere else to put me. So they had to put me into the homeless hostel. And, you know, I have to say, and this is another, like, positive perspective of like the way I view things, as in because my newborn was so sick,
yeah,
and then in ICU 3 times, like I think we spent the majority of the time, if we weren't on the streets, we spent in Crumlin Hospital. But other than that, like I'd be looking for places like McDonald's, walk in the parks if it's okay. But literally just, do you know when you don't have a routine and a structure and a reason for living outside, let's say, of, you know, what I was saying to you about being a mom and him needing me, days are very, very long.
Yeah,
very, very long.
Especially
with a baby. I mean, oh my gosh, and having no money, having nowhere to go, and just really, really feeling alienated.
Is that
from the community?
The way people would view you on the street going around.
Yeah, and I think as well because I was young, you know, I was like viewed upon as, you know, not capable, or I was viewed upon that people had the right to comment on me. As a parent, oh, the baby looks cold, or you know things like this. Absolutely, yeah. And
now, mothers of newborns are thinking, it's an exhausting time. You need to sleep, rest. You need to keep the baby warm. I mean, it's unbelievable that this was your life at that stage.
I know. It was complete survival mode. But I think from growing up in foster care as well, I had already gained, you know, that aspect of living in survival mode. I was always looking over my shoulder. I was always, you know, paranoid, and, you know, but I had to be because it was a way to protect myself. So I built this shell, let's say.
Yeah.
And it was just then a stronger continuation of survival. And I'm either going to survive this or I'm not. And I need to survive this because my son needs me.
What age is that baby now?
He is 21 years of age.
Nearly 22.
Nearly 22. Nearly 22.
And do you tell him, do you regale these stories?
I do indeed. We have a very real relationship, which is great. I'm now looking up giving out to him. But we have a very real relationship, which is fantastic. And I learn from him now. I hope he's not listening, but I learn from him probably more so than he learns from me. But We're a great team, mm-hmm. you know, like me and my family were a great team. Oh, and I've built that.
Resilience, incredible.
Absolutely.
What's the kind of a quick story then between, you know, coming out of homelessness, you were in rented accommodation, is it? Is that from being in a relationship? How does that come about?
So in several different rented accommodations, I think over the past, like we're in our forever home over 8 years now.
Brilliant.
And the stability, and that's thanks to Focus Ireland now. Absolutely fantastic. And not just a home, like not just a roof over your head. Like I have now the emotional support. I have, you know, it's almost like I do call it my dysfunctional family. Mm. You know, I have that support. And, you know, I think as well, people have this perspective that, you know, you just get people like myself just get given a house. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. I still have to pay my rent. I still have to pay bills. You know, it's helped me to be able to have a structure and see what I want to do. You know, and just not survive anymore.
And the giving back that you've done as well.
Absolutely. The giving back is, you know, I'm really, it's given me the strength in the sense of like, to fight for others, others who don't have a voice, you know?
Yeah, your story is incredible. We've almost only told half of it here, to be honest, because you go into those rental accommodation, relationships break down, and you find yourself in that emergency accommodation that is now very familiar to us, those cruel figures we see at the end of every month. But you have more tragedy in your life.
I do. I've experienced, you know, unhealthy relationships, domestic violence, and I've also I had twin girls. I lost one twin to cot death in the midst of the domestic violence. So, you know, I do have a lot of experience, especially when it comes to trauma and stuff like that. But I also have experienced a lot of healing as well, and kind of, I think in life we're all built, you know, we all have, a tool belt, and, you know, a lot of tools were handed down from like our parents and past generations and stuff. But I think
you have a hammer and tongs. Is the
I think I've had to really, like, you know, carve my own tools.
But that is the point. Like, children coming from care, they do not have the support network and the support background. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, a lot of people in homelessness and in emergency accommodation is because they don't have that support network. I mean, homelessness could happen to me or to you tomorrow, mm-hmm. but the reality is we probably have family there to support us in a short temporary thing. People in emergency accommodation don't always have that. Now, not necessarily, but what we see is when we had our first lived experience ambassadors and we sat in a workshop for the first time, we all shared our stories, all myself included and the other five ambassadors. We shared and very open with each other. Yeah. And one of the things that came, and we none of us knew this when we got into the room, four out of our five ambassadors had experienced some aspect of care as a child. Mm-hmm. When Focus Ireland gives homes, as Kelly alluded to there earlier, we don't just give a home. There's a housing support worker offered to every single person who's there to step in and out of their life as people have support needs and come in and out. And Kelly would have an amazing support worker. And
as Roddy Doyle's film Rosie taught us, these are working people
who are
caught in the rental surges and they end up in emergency accommodation.
That's very true. What we see is at the moment is so many people, and we're trying to advocate for work to be considered, that people are supported to remain in their jobs when they do end up in emergency. Who would have thought we'd need to say that 10 years ago?
So this drive is to register, to get these people to register to vote, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it's so
important. Because traditionally we don't think we hear from them too often.
Yeah, you know, like, and I suppose I'm really speaking to people who are homeless or, you know, like, really, I know you're in a time of feeling powerless, you know, like, and it's a time where you feel, you know, Focus Ireland has just had a campaign of unseen but not forgotten. And I really, really, you know, emphasise that, like, you are seen. You are, and that's like what I'm fighting for, as in I'm fighting for you to find the power within yourself to know that you are worthy and that your vote will count, your vote will change.
It's the one place in society that everybody's equal. It doesn't matter whether you have €1 million in your pocket or €5 in your pocket.
Your vote is exactly the same.
And that's when we've been going around doing the voter registration drive in some of our services, and especially with young people. I won't say what one young person said, but he said, "I can't wait to vote and do." He gave a very crude gesture to the government. And I thought that sense of empowerment is really important.
Yeah. Are they worried because do they have a permanent enough address to vote?
Yeah, and that has been an issue. And luckily, legislation changed last year and that allows people to register just with their PPSN number and an air code. We use PUS service, which is a service address point, which is directly to support people in emergency accommodation. If people come into our services, we're able to register them online and get their vote ready. We're really conscious that the election possibly will be called tomorrow. We'll have a very short window.
Thursday, they say, on the 29th of November.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll be very short length of time for people to register. Yeah. If we go ahead and the election is called on the 29th of November, as speculated, people would need to be registered online by the 12th, which is next Tuesday. So that's why we're really saying the next week, don't wait for the government to call the election. Start registering now. Make sure your vote counts. And on top of that, because we're really conscious that it's how do you know who to vote for, who'll do something with the housing situation. Focus Ireland have come up with a general election plan. We have five solutions that we believe will end housing and homelessness crisis. We're enabling a tool on our website that people will be able to go on, check, send an automated email to all the candidates in their area, find their response to our solutions. Will they support ending homelessness?
And so you can quiz them on the doorstep.
Exactly. You can quiz them on the doorstep and also see who will support the things that align with your values.
Louise, you would know roughly where people are in emergency accommodation at the moment. Do you know, are they on the voting register? Is it a very low number?
There's a very low number as far as we can see. It's very hard to know exactly. Mm. But as part of our key working, all our project workers now, when they're dealing with somebody, they'll ask the normal questions. Have you got your social welfare? Have you got your pension? Have you got your... all the things that are you registered with a GP? All of those type of questions. Mm. They're now questioning is, have you registered to vote? have you not? Let's register to vote now. So it's part of our ongoing. So while this is a short 1 week campaign to get people to register, it's part of our ongoing process to really, one of our values is empowerment. And I don't think there's a better way to empower somebody who feels unheard, unforgotten, unseen, than empowering them to vote and use their vote in a proactive way to end their situation.
There are 15,000 registered in emergency accommodation, no, but that doesn't include the figure that might be couch surfing, living with relatives,
who don't have
things in their name.
Yeah,
like
so it's it, while obviously Focus Ireland is concerned about homelessness, we're also concerned about the housing crisis. Homelessness is a direct result of the housing crisis. Yeah. We have solutions that we hope would end all of the housing and homelessness.
Yeah. Kelly, when you were in emergency accommodation, did you use your vote?
I actually didn't. I think we've come a long way since back then, since I didn't have that awareness or...
Probably wasn't a priority, was it?
It wasn't. It really wasn't. I didn't have, you know, could barely get through the day. Like, but I think now with Focus Ireland and having that awareness and, you know, like they have... what I love about
Focus
Ireland...
There were no campaigns
Ireland
like this at the time.
Absolutely. Like Focus Ireland built a solution, not just say what the problem is. They have a solution, and I think that's fantastic where people can go online now and they can look and see and educate themselves of, because government use a lot of terminology which is very hard to understand, and I think that's what zones a lot of people out. They think that they're not able to understand, you know, and just, oh, then they literally close up and they're like, that's not for me, I feel stupid.
I see what you mean, yeah.
And can I just say, Kelly's underselling herself there. Kelly has gone into a joint Oireachtas committee and spoken to TDs and senators about what the implication of child poverty. So I think you do understand and can share it quite well.
She certainly does. And the many more of them in there do. In
absolutely. They are experts in their own experience. And that's why it's so important for us to have a lived experience ambassador programme and to use the experiential knowledge. I know the facts and figures about homelessness. I've never experienced it. And every story I come across, there's a new aspect, there's a new learning. And it's great to work with people and sharing their knowledge.
So to people listening who are either in this situation or might know families and people of voting age, what should they do? Is it come to a Focus Ireland office?
Yeah, come to a Focus Ireland office and just ask, could they help? All our staff have been trained and have the skills to be able to register there and then online. In the worst case scenario, if they can't find a local office and they're in Dublin, they can just phone up High Street and make an appointment and somebody will register them or call into our coffee shop. But otherwise, if they go to their local service around the country, there should be staff there available to
help
them.
And there are case workers, are there, that deal with
the case workers
people?
Are there, like... Our family hat team, they're the family homeless action team. They go work in all the emergency accommodations around the country. They're going in there, working with people, registering them on the housing list, bringing them to viewings, doing all that really necessary work to move them out of emergency accommodation, providing support for their children.
That's what Focus Ireland do right
that's
now.
We don't run hostels ourselves, but we do support people in it. So our family homeless action team, they go into families, they have a certain number of cases and they'll work with that family on it, go over and meet with them. But as part of that, they're all trained up into registering somebody to vote as well and to explain the importance of registering. So again, anybody in emergency accommodation should have access to some type of support.
Are there people who've been living in this emergency accommodation for years and years?
Well,
there, or is it a revolving...
We know of families who are 2 years plus living in emergency accommodation. There's some horrific stories. So I just recently met a woman because we're actually, Kelly's involved in this project as well. It's an EU funded project. But this lady has been in an emergency accommodation for 2.5 years. She moved out of emergency accommodation last May into a HAP property, and the landlord has given her notice and she's due to...
So that's where she had rent that was assisted by the government.
She's being evicted again because the landlord wants the property back for himself. So she will be after being 2.5 years in emergency accommodation, she moved out using the housing assistance payment and will be due back in January to go back into emergency. Oh, wow. And she's very scared because she said after this great idea of hope coming in to looking, she's a young child.
The reverse.
She's going back into looking for jobs. She's involved in working with us on the research project, doing all these really proactive things. And she feels she's going backwards. And I sometimes hear people saying, well, why don't they just, they're all waiting for their forever home. I tell you, Oliver, if I was in emergency accommodation and then knew with my child and knew how hard it was, I would try to avoid ever having that risk again. I think I'd wait for my forever home again, because this poor lady did use HAP to move out and has going to be coming back in again. You know, I think people need to understand the fear that people have. Everybody's trying to move out. Everybody's trying to move on. And the reality is...
And then you can start your life when you got the... You're the evidence of that,
absolutely,
Kelly, aren't
you? Give people the right supports, or help people with the right supports who don't have the supports needed. That is really a given right from, you know, young childhood. Give people the right supports and just watch them drive.
Yeah.
Do you know,
yeah,
we could have our latest, like, doctor, you know, our latest cure for cancer, or, you know, literally living in a hub right now.
Yeah.
You know, and give people stability, give them, you know, what they need. Basic right. Basic right is to have a home and a safe place. And, like, homeless people and that people who, you know, are living in, you know, little small hubs with their children, you know, looking at four walls every day. I remember hearing, like, doing their homework on, like, the windowsill of the hub, like, you know, really, you know, use your vote and let's create change together. Let's, you know, make sure everybody has a home and a safe place.
And I would just add, like, one of the things that really upsets us is the standards in different hubs are so different. So there's some run by NGOs and their standards are as good as could be expected in the situation. But there's others run by private enterprises and there's no social care workers. There's rules that really impact on especially lone parent families. Like, there would be rules around you cannot bring children into the kitchen area to prepare a meal because of health and safety. Okay. But also you can't leave them in their bedrooms. So how is a lone parent, are you able to cook a meal for them? You can't. You know, these rules that on their own seem quite reasonable, but put together, it makes living there impossible for families.
Mm. Yeah. It's good to hear this because they are a clump of society that we don't hear from, because obviously they're in this emergency accommodation coated in shame, really, aren't they? That's why we don't hear the personal stories. So you've kind of told us.
And we're very conscious of that. And that's why our lived experience programme is people who've gone through the crisis and out the other side. We don't want to exploit people who are already in the midst of a crisis.
Yes. Yeah. And of course, we should say that the government would tell us that and use the actual figures that the number of homes built is going up all the time. A 10% increase last year on 2022. It's a little bit down on last year, though. The number of homes built so far this year is marginally behind the number of properties completed by this time last year. But I saw Micheál Martin saying in an interview yesterday that there are calls for hope,
no,
and they think they've turned
the corner. And I will acknowledge
that
there is more social housing being built, which is really positive.
Yeah.
But what we're not seeing it is being directed to those in the most acute form of the housing crisis, those in emergency accommodation. So despite the fact that we're getting more social homes online, we're not seeing it reducing the homeless figures, and we're seeing them going up every month.
Just with an eye to the election. I'm putting these figures in, you know, because I know you, in fairness, haven't gone into party politics on us this morning. One texter says, well, a fantastic woman. This is you, Kelly. It's a person like that we need as president, not some retiring politician. That's for
Thank
a different
you.
Election maybe in a year's time. But in the meantime, let's get registered for this one.
Yes, absolutely.
Our thanks to Louise Bayliss, campaign coordinator at Focus Ireland, and also to Kellyanne Byrne, your former Focus Ireland lived experience ambassador. And good luck to you and your little ones that
Thank
are not so
much.
Little maybe anymore. Thank you so much. 51551 for our texts.
Email Oliver at rte.ie.
Marvani Store. Jenum kinte go rach dalam magano en a kaijan is hierje erfad. Ach mar ostor. Ni mord ma kinte goel mischkeim pinchen kujachte I go rare lesh na kaijan is hierje choma.
Ma horantush game pinchen erfad. Lauer le don tivehe lini hinsu gwil si a go rare, lish na hord haid on nua van a stilta agus rilachish. Foy omlan an scale, egan tudoraz pinchin punkai.
Explore the MG range. Plug-in hybrid, self-charging hybrid, and full electric. It's range without the anxiety. Freedom is yours to own in the all-new MG ZS Hybrid Plus. From just €28,995. Book your test drive at mg.ie. MG, recharge your soul. Price excludes dealer delivery and related charges. Full terms and conditions at mg.ie.
I couldn't cook at all when I was young, so I made sure all my boys could. They all know the difference between a grand meal, a good meal, and a great meal. That makes me happy, and it makes me even happier that none of them are as good as me.
At DID, the things you care about are the things we love to take care of. That's why in our Black Friday event, you'll find incredible home and kitchen appliance offers at DID.ie and in all 23 of our stores right now. DID Electrical, for everything you.
IMRAM, the Irish Language Literature Festival in Dublin, runs from the 7th to the 16th of November. Bilin ag shraun cho eke, Taylor Swift's songs performed in Irish featuring Roisin Seoige and Imlay. Ag ciolta le sexy thaig, agus ag uncrican agus a luach le hetna ni ghalachor agus Steve Cooney. Full programme at imram.ie. Le tachiacht on chorle alian. IMRAM, on eile litriacht a gaelge. RTE.
Supporting the arts.
Ag tacu leis na haliana.
Now, we'll go back to where we started, and that's the death of producer Quincy Jones, who's died at the age of 91. And Dave Fanning is on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Come on, Oliver. This
is a big death, isn't it, in the music trade?
Well, I mean, behind the scenes, in one way, and yet the most colourful behind the scenes person, yeah, probably in the whole of music of the 20th century. Because if you go back to the big names that he's either, you know, produced or played with or toured with, you have the biggest of Count Basie, Duke Ellington, Sarah Vaughan, Dizzy Gillespie. I mean, you know, Frank Sinatra, you know, Louis Armstrong, etc. But that's actually, funnily enough, not what he's most famous for. You think it would be. And he's done 40 different movies to the music for that. He's most famous for, in 1979 direction, he was scoring a movie called The Wiz. And that's where he met Michael Jackson. And the next three Michael Jackson albums sold something like, I know it's hard to believe, 130 million between them.
Physical sales, proper sales, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he just can't beat that. He did those three albums. Obviously, Thriller, the biggest selling album of all time. But I'm now saying that's 68 to 70 million, I've no idea, alone, you know. So, like, I mean, that's the biggest thing he did. But, I mean, he was doing stuff right up till, like, I mean, he's done Donna Summer, and he's produced Amy Winehouse and Paul Simon.
Wow.
Yeah, and, like, all of those things, you know. I mean, and like, he's dined with Pablo Picasso. I bet you can't say that. Nelson Mandela, he was sitting at the same table for his 90th birthday. The Pope.
You know? Pope John Paul,
and he was the
second
first black president. I don't know which pope, actually. Yeah, I don't know whichever pope. He was a busy man, basically. He was a good his good friend was Ray Charles, because that's where he met him first in Chicago, and he was with him all throughout his life. You know, he won 27 Grammys. He's actually the only guy ever to... he was the first guy, anyway, to direct the Oscars, who was black. And that was the big scene in 71. He was big into the civil rights thing. He was part of that whole thing, mm-hmm, in terms of always being there for people that needed him to be there at meetings and all the rest. And Oprah Winfrey introduced him into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 10 years ago. I mean, he was the most versatile pop cultural figure of the 20th century that wouldn't necessarily be known, because, as I say, he wasn't on stage holding...
He's behind the scenes. But we know his name. He also launched Will Smith, didn't he?
He launched Will Smith because that was the French Prince of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and that's that was absolutely 100% the launch of Will Smith's career. But he also did not just TV stuff. And he did that Roots series that was
the
huge
series,
back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby, and he did that too. He did the We Are the World single in the mid 1980s, and then of course movies like In Cold Blood, In the Heat of the Night, and then, you know, McKenna's Gold. He did the Rod Steiger movie, The Pawnbroker. 40 movies, composing and performing and all the rest of it. Yeah. Huge.
What do you think? What was different about him? What made him such a virtuoso producer?
I think his personality. From what I make out, his personality. Everybody loved. I mean, I saw a documentary on Netflix about 4 years ago. A lot of it was to do with his daughters talking and his family. He was married three times. He had other times in between where he went out with Natasha Kinski for a good while. In fact, he had a kid with Natasha Kinski. But his kids just, like, were amazed when they were to sort of get the actual documentary together, they couldn't believe just how much he had done. His name was just on everything. There's nothing that hasn't been done in jazz and pop. He was the most prolific cross-genre producer you could get.
Miles Davis is even in there. Oh, we could go on. I'd love to watch the documentary.
Miles.
The documentaries are there as well, which are well worth watching. Thanks a million, Dave. Good luck.
Hold on, one last thing. Are you ready for this? He was also the first music, he was the first music on the moon. Frank Sinatra was flying to the moon. Buzz Aldrin brought it up and played it on a cassette.
Oh my God. He even made it to the moon. That's everything. You've covered everything. Thanks, Dave. Good luck to you. We'll take a break before we go.
From the North, Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by itsforwomen.ie. Irish online car insurance that's driven to offer big discounts and even bigger rewards.
Mark was meeting his brothers later. They had the serious business of a stag weekend to plan.
Right, dig the trench for these pipes quickly, finish early, meet the lads.
Always ask yourself the question on construction sites. Are you sure it's safe? Check with ESB Networks for underground electricity cables before you dig, and look out for overhead electricity wires when operating tall machinery. If in doubt, call us on 1800 372 999. ESB Networks. Stay safe and stay clear of electricity wires.
With a high digital online skills course, you'll feel a real difference.
I can listen to all the music I like.
The bus app that's coming out, it's brilliant.
Anything you want to know, it's at your fingertips.
They're small things, but they mean something.
Learn essential online skills with simple, accessible lessons at highdigital.ie or freephone 1800 20 30 30. Brought to you by Vodafone Foundation and Alone. Vodafone. Together we can.
We love better value at Dunn Stores. Mix and match any three for €30 on a great range of Pampers, nappies and pants. And when you use a 5 off 25 grocery voucher, that's just €25. Stock up on a range of refreshing soft drinks like Pepsi Max, 7-Up and Club Orange. 18 can packs, now only €8.50. Save every day and save even more with Shop and Save vouchers. Dunn Stores. Always better value. Terms and conditions apply. Voucher can be used to next qualifying shop. Prices subject to deposit return scheme fees.
RTE Radio 1.
Aiken Promotions presents...
But I send her my love and
the Waterboys. Live at Three Arena Dublin, June 7th. Botanic Gardens Belfast, June 8th. And live at the Marquee Cork, July 10th. Tickets available now.
Music updates on RTE Radio 1.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
I'm still getting suggestions of what we should play after the US elections. American Tune by Paul Simon is a song to play. Thank you, Joan and Dublin 7. We'll have a look and see what happens and we'll decide and see if it's... We couldn't play much Quincy Jones music, of course, because a lot of it is Michael Jackson and that upsets a lot of people for very obvious reasons. Look, we're out of time for today. That's your Monday morning. We'll be back again tomorrow. Claire Byrne is on in the meantime. We'll talk again. Slán.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio app.
RTE News on Radio 1 with Brian Jennings. Good morning. The head of the Child Law Project has called for a government strategy to deal with children who are particularly vulnerable and need psychological and other supports. Dr. Carol Coulter said there appears to be a growing cohort of children with complex needs, possibly stemming from the COVID pandemic, when adolescents at the time would not have received the support they needed. She said, those with very challenging behaviour need the appropriate facilities.
These are presenting now with quite complex behavioural and mental health issues. They should be in specially supported units. And this requires input from a number of departments. It's not just TUSLA. There really should be a government strategy as to how to deal with children who are particularly vulnerable, who need psychological support, need speech and language sometimes.
A man is due before Blanchardstown District Court, charged in connection with an alleged assault on the Green Party leader and minister, Roderick O'Gorman. The incident is reported to have happened when Mr. O'Gorman was out canvassing in his Dublin constituency on Saturday. Today is the last day of campaigning before tomorrow's US presidential and congressional elections. The presidential candidates, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, are concentrating the final efforts in the northeastern battleground states, particularly Michigan and Pennsylvania. Mr. Trump will also return to North Carolina. Opinion polls indicate an extremely tight contest, and observers have suggested that different rules on the counting of votes between the states means it could be some days before the winner of the race for the White House is known. The American music producer and composer Quincy Jones has died. He was 91. Among the countless artists